Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Story time.
Cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
An encounter in the mountains of Idaho. This is a story that was told to me by one of my firearms instructors named Chris. In northern Idaho, deep in the Rocky Mountains, there is a cabin that runs a cattle ranch. Chris's brother knows the owner and invited Chris to spend a weekend up there for some hunting and hiking. The brothers gathered their supplies and a few of their best pals and took off to the mountains. As they were driving up the winding Idaho roads, his brother issued a cryptic warning. Sometimes the cattle escape into the woods and need to be tracked down. The owner of the ranch has seen strange creatures in the forest. I'm not messing around, everyone laughed and didn't take the warning seriously. Within the hour they arrived at the cabin. On the second day in the mountains, Chris decided to go on an afternoon hunt with one of his friends. They drove down a back road into the forest until the road ended a few miles from the cabin. They got out and walked to the nearby creek, then split off with one person going upstream and one person going downstream. After walking for a ways, Chris came to a silty deposit where he noticed a foul odor and a broken pine tree that was green and healthy. The trunk was snapped in the direction of the water. There were 4-finger indentations in the tree bark like it had been squeezed and pulled down by a massive hand. Sap bubbled from the compressed bark. On the ground he discovered numerous huge footprints with 5 toes stamped into the silt. He followed them and counted 73 beautiful tracks that lead to another snapped green pine tree. This tree also had big finger marks on it, and was facing in the direction of the water. Tracks danced all around this tree. The smell was now overwhelming. Chris became so spooked that he immediately ran back to the truck. His friend had shot a deer, and they quickly drove back to the cabin with it. At the cabin, Chris explained the situation to everyone. That night, 6 men from the cabin armed themselves, each with a rifle and a pistol, and returned by truck to the end of the dirt road. They parked the truck facing the creek and then walked on foot to the edge of the water. It was a moonless starry night, but the horrible smell still lingered. The band of hunters waited, and at one point held into the night, calling for the creature. Chris thought he could hear something moving in the forest, but the creek was too loud to be sure. He decided to walk alone upstream and into the woods to get a clearer sound. He could hear that there was definitely something big making its way through the pines. He ran back to the hunters and warned them that something was approaching. Moments later, from both up and downstream, they began to hear branches snapping and footsteps thudding. The sounds came from both directions, closing in on the group. The footsteps grew louder and louder until the booming crunch of a log under the surface of the mud spooked them so much that they all ran back to the truck. In less than 2 minutes, they made it back to the vehicle. The moment they fired up the truck and turned on the headlights, they could see 2 massive bipedal hairy creatures moving up the creek in the location they had just retreated from. The creature's eyes shined from the truck's headlights. All of the men had clear shots, but all took flight back to the cabin in terror. The stench greeted them upon their return. They feared that with the slain deer outside, the creatures would be drawn to the property. They all slept curled up with their guns that night, but no more signs of the creatures would be found. "I told you, little brother, I was not effing around." He figures he ran into a family of them. There was a wild look in his eyes as he turned to me and said, "I know they exist." Sitting around a campfire in the middle of nowhere in the North Georgia mountains, not designated campground, with 2 girls. It was pitch black other than the fire. Suddenly we hear a phone ring in the woods for 2 rings then stops. I mouth to the girls to run to the car. We ran and didn't look back. Being the dude I had to be calm, but I about shit myself. I had a bizarre encounter close to the abandoned Brooksbury Brick Factory in Manchester, New Jersey. To start off, my brother has taken me to this place before. I thought it was pretty cool, so I decided to go back there with a group of friends one night, and to my horror, we encountered something that I never thought would be real. So as I stated above, my friends and I came back to the Brooksbury Brick Factory to explore it shortly after my brother took me with his friend Harold. He warned us never to come back there at night, but we didn't heed Harold's warning seriously to never come there at night. He told me it was because he's had some other experiences there that haunted him for a long time, thinking that he was joking around about that. But to fast forward to the story, my group of friends and I decided to go to the abandoned brick factory. When we arrived, we decided to go towards the path that leads to the factory, and as soon as we got there we felt an eerie presence and we felt like we were being watched. My friends and I were a little spooked, and as our eyes darted all along the wood line I spotted something. In the wood line up ahead I saw something that shouldn't be possible or that shouldn't exist. To my horror, there was what looked like a werewolf. Its piercing yellow eyes were staring into my soul, and it gave me the creeps when I was looking at it. To describe it, it was very tall, abnormally tall, and I would say about 9 to 10 feet tall at the head, with large wolf-like or dog-like perked ears and a long snout. Its body was similar to the build of an Olympic bodybuilder, with large muscles that were visible through the mass of fur that was standing there. But its head was similar to a German shepherd or a wolf, and its hands ended in claw-like digits. I blinked to make sure that this wasn't in my imagination, and to my horror, my friends reacted to it as well. My friends also saw this eerie presence, and they were all startled. To me, it felt like it was beckoning me to come closer, and its stare was so quiet and soul-piercing, which both weirded me out and gave me the same sensation a deer would have when seeing headlights. It felt like it was waiting for the perfect time to strike, and I felt a primal sense of fear when looking at this creature. It kind of also reminded me of an Egyptian jackal, except this shouldn't be real. The creature didn't do anything but stare at us and make us feel intimidated, and once we felt like it was gone, we ran out of that area. To this day, I'm still not exactly sure of what I saw, but when my brother showed me an illustration of a dogman, it made me shudder with fear. Whatever I saw that night looked just like the illustration my brother showed me, and to this day I'm still in disbelief with what I saw. I will never go back to that location. I felt like I was in danger the entire time, and I felt like this creature was trying to intimidate us and warn us to never come back to its territory. In conclusion, I don't know what I saw that night, but I hope I never meet it again, and things really do go bump in the night. Be careful out exploring in the Pine Barrens, and never go to the Brooksbury Brick Factory at night. So my friends live in the deep woods of North Carolina. The land they live on has always felt very off. You do not want to be on that property by yourself. It doesn't matter if it's day or night. Me and multiple people have seen this same creature. It is tall, skinny, pale in color, and has white antlers. It hides behind trees and seems to blend in with the tree line. When we see it, it is always at night. It also makes you feel dread when you see it. In the woods around this house, it is almost like everything is either dead silent, or too much sounds at once, like rustling in the trees, leaves being stepped on, etc. Out of all of the times we have seen this creature, we can only compare it to a mix of a hide behind and a wendigo. The other thing is that we feel that whatever this creature is influencing us from inside the house as well. The front door they have has a glass window in the middle of it, which is opaque. You can't see through it perfectly, but you can tell if someone or something is outside. Anyways, we have all been too scared to open the door when this happens, but sometimes in the middle of the night, we can see something white moving quickly in front of the front door from inside. We also hear footsteps on the other side of the house, among other issues. I'm wondering if this is from this same creature influencing the inside of the house? Anyways, this thing is really freaking us out, but when we try looking up things like this, we cannot find anything similar at all. Thanks for reading. This will be the first time sharing this story. Partially because I think there's a rational explanation for it and it just escapes me, partially because I almost don't want to believe it happened. Anyway, on with the story. I live in the Pacific Northwest. More specifically, North Washington. I live in a large city, but my grandparents owned a little cabin in a small community down around Mount Rainier. My family would visit often, and it was an excellent summertime area with a country club that had a pool and golf course. Really relaxing and surrounded by mountains and wooded area. It was common for us to go hiking in the woods and be away from any civilization. One year, when I was a wee little lad around 12, I would say, we, my dad, sister, and I, were up there for some R&R, which isn't uncommon. I would sleep on the couch, which was a little unsettling because the living room was surrounded by bay windows. I mean, this house is a fishbowl. The only place with privacy is the bathroom. Anyway, I'm sleeping on the couch and start to settle down enough to drift off to sleep. As I'm doing that open and close your eyes thing when you fall asleep, I notice something that wakes me up instantly. Outside, in the dark, in a heavily wooded area, I see a giant mass walk from one end of the yard to the other. When I say yard, don't misrepresent this with a green grassy yard. This was a portion of woods with tall trees and shrubs and bushes. This thing lumbers far enough away that I can't quite make out what it is in the dark. It was about 6 feet tall and just hairy as F. I think it might be some dude, but its body structure is all wrong. Arms way too big and the torso was just not right. My second thought is bear. There are bears in these woods and they search for garbage, so a bear on hind legs isn't too far of a stretch. But again, not the right proportions. I then think Bigfoot and almost laugh at myself. I still to this day do not believe in Bigfoot, but if there were something to convince me, this thing would be it. Shit, I don't know, maybe it was a gorilla or something. What it's doing in Washington, I wouldn't know. Maybe I was just having the most vivid dream of my life. This thing moves like it's big and lazy and like it's putting force behind each step, like trying to make the ground tremble, which of course it didn't. What scared me the most is that the room I was in was lit more than the outside. Not bright, but like a very dim overhead. I don't know, but it could have seen me. I was probably bright as day. Not to mention this room is surrounded by windows that are about as thick as a wine glass. I'm sure that if it so choose, it could have gone through those windows like they were nothing. This was the first time since I was 5 that I sleep in my dad's room. Just curled up on the floor and almost cried. Good thing my dad is a deep sleeper and snores like a freight train. He woke me up in the morning and asked why I was on the floor. I told him and he of course didn't believe me. He said that the only thing that might be out there is bears and they're not getting in the house. I agreed so I didn't come off crazy and I was forced to sleep out there again. I eventually did doze off, but not after many hours of terrified vigil. This didn't last very long, however, because there it is again. This time I can only hear it. Again, with windows about as thin as paper, it's not hard to hear things close outside. I knew it had to be the same creature due to the noise it was making. Imagine the snorting of a gorilla, but using half-formed words or just plain a language I didn't understand. I could make out CA and poo sounds. The next decision could have saved my life. I slowly got off the couch and hid behind it. The reason this potentially saved my life is because this thing started walking in front of the windows again, only a lot closer this time. I got only a few good glimpses at it in fear of it seeing me. The memory is also hazy and deteriorated, but I'll tell you what I remember. Its arms were gorilla, plain and simple, only covered by moss-colored fur or just plain moss. Its head was about the size of a large cantaloupe, so disproportionately small to the rest of its body. Its torso was not human-like at all. This is why I thought it might have been a bear. It was just like it, fat, symmetrical, and the same size from top to bottom. More like an organic oval. Again, spotty moss-colored fur or just moss. Its head had a large bump on the back of its head like an extension where its brain would be. Again, like a gorilla. Its legs. Its legs looked like it was meant for a miniature version of the thing. Very muscular but very short. Its eyes were a solid yellow with a small dark pupil in the center of each. Its mouth was like that of anybody but wider and large lips. Its nose was a mix between human and bear. It's so hard to describe something that is unique as this thing. After walking through the yard a bit, it notices the house, as if it didn't realize it was there until now. It walked up cautiously and slow. It came, 6 feet away from one of the windows. This is where it gets exciting and boring and ends. My dog, German Shepherd or Golden Retriever, comes waltzing down the hall from my dad's room. As soon as it enters the living room, he loses his shit at this thing standing outside. This isn't uncommon. He's a sweet dog but territorial. He's constantly barking at other animals or just passers-by. No one even wakes up anymore for it. My dog is either the bravest dog in the world, or stupidest. He bolts after the thing and shoots out the doggy for. The creature looks genuinely scared shitless and runs away as fast as its little legs can carry it, which is surprisingly fast. My dog chases it of the property line. He knows not to go any further and keeps barking into the night. After 5 minutes or so he comes back and I give him the petting of a lifetime. It ends here, friends. I never have seen the creature since. I can still sleep in that couch, but it does give me the heebie-jeebies. I told no one. I'm not stupid enough to know people will think I'm crazy. This it's the first time I've posted this story and in still not sure what to make of it. Was I hallucinating? Dreaming? Was it just a reformed bear or something? I guess I'm just glad it's gone. Years ago, I was walking my dog with my sister at a farm right by my house. The farm owner, a nice lady who still runs it today, lets the public use the farm and the woods for free to walk their dogs, as long as the dogs stay on their leads when by the farm animal pens and fields. The farm is quite big, and if you walk further in, there's a little woods at the back of it, which is normally quite deserted. We always feel safe walking here though because we've both known the farm owner since we were babies, and the walls surrounding the farm are massive and couldn't be easily climbed over, if that makes sense. Anyway, we go into the farm and make our way to the woods because we can let the dog off his lead here. He can't come off the lead in the farm for obvious reasons, but the woods are gated off to all the sheep and horses, etc. We let him off the lead and start walking around. The woods go in a big circle around the farm, so we usually just do a little lap of the woods before coming back into the farm and then going home. We're walking along chatting. And then sitting ahead of us on a fallen down tree log was a man. He was just sitting there. What I mean is he wasn't drinking a coffee he'd bought from the little farm shop at the farm. He didn't have a dog with him. He was just sitting on the log, staring straight ahead at the trees and the woods. We carry on walking, and as we come close to him, he suddenly looks over at us quite quickly and says, "The only way out of this place is over there." In this monotone voice and points at the woods, a part of the woods that just leads to more woods and then a brick wall that surrounds the farm. We just ignored him and carried on walking. We told the lady who owns the farm that there was a man in the woods, and she said she hadn't seen anyone go in there before us but asked us nevertheless what he was doing. We said he wasn't doing anything, just sitting there, but we did tell her what he had said to us. She looked confused and went into the woods with us and asked us to show her where he had been, so we did. We showed her where he had pointed, and she said, "That leads to the wall that used to separate the farm from the railway tracks." Apparently, years before, there was a railway next to the farm that stopped being used for whatever reason some 30 years before and now just sits there overgrown and desolate. I don't know what the man meant by that being the only way out of the woods, but the whole thing made me feel unnerved. We never saw him again, and neither did the farm owner. We were driving along the Pacific Ocean in Washington State back in the early 2000s. Our dog, Goldie, threw up in the back of the vehicle, so he pulled off the highway to let her out for a walk. He and the dog walked up a dirt road through the woods for a few yards. He was taking a leak and noticed the dog cowering. Goldie didn't cower at anything, so he looked up and, as he described it, saw a wall of reddish-brown hair between the trees. He also smelled the smell. He also felt the fear. So he zipped up and walked quickly back to the vehicle where I was cleaning up the back seat. I remember I had the creeps. As I was cleaning the mess up, I felt very uncomfortable, so I started singing a little song. My hubby approached the vehicle and said sternly, "Get in." He was not his usual self. I quickly wiped the rest of the mess and we got in and drove off. He then told me of his experience. I guess it wasn't spectacular. Maybe if he'd accidentally peed on the big guy or girl, it would have turned out different. I was on my way home last night, driving west on Highway 6, which runs through Nowhereville in southwest Washington. In the car, it was just me, female, and my SD Hunter. I came around a bend in the road, and standing in the middle of a tiny country road off to the right was a person, just standing there, staring across the highway. My heart hit my stomach, and I instantly got this overwhelming feeling to get the hell away. See, this person never moved, not to acknowledge my headlights or shield their eyes. They never flagged me for assistance. It was so bizarre. This person didn't have any form of light, and there was no moon out, pitch dark. Just standing in the road in black pants and a light green t-shirt where there were no houses. I thought about calling the police, but of course, there was no phone service. And that gut instinct telling me to get the hell out of there. So, I hope whoever was standing out there is okay, but damn. You were so creepy. This happened in May of 2003. Sometimes when I'm on a trip, I like to explore rural roads just to see what's around. On this occasion, I took some rural road, I don't remember which one, in the Florida Panhandle to enjoy the scenery. I drove for about an hour, exploring different roads without really knowing where I was. It was around lunchtime. I eventually drove into a park that looked pretty and decided to eat lunch at a picnic table near my car. I had the car door window open on the passenger's side and was playing old music from the 1970s and 1980s on a boombox cassette tape. I was singing along to the music and slowly eating my lunch. I had finished half my sandwich and had eaten some chips when I happened to turn around and saw a man who looked like and dressed similar to Dog the Bounty Hunter. For a split second, I actually thought he was Dog the Bounty Hunter, but then I realized he wasn't. I gasped when I saw this guy and felt a moment of fear as he was standing right behind me. He told me that he had seen me drive into the park. I didn't see him or anyone at the park and don't know how he was able to come up behind me unseen, as there was no place I could see where he could have hidden. He waited to see how long it would be before I noticed him. He told me that he had stood there for several minutes before I noticed him and apologized for frightening me. This sent shivers down my spine. At the same time, though, I didn't feel threatened by this guy, as I knew if he wanted to hurt me, he would have done so. I remember feeling shocked and disbelieving and didn't say anything to him as he talked. He informed me that the park was a dangerous place because of drug dealing and other criminal activities, and he knew that I wasn't aware of this due to being from out of town. He also knew that I wasn't the type of person who hung out with this crowd. For my own personal safety, he said that I needed to leave the park immediately. I nodded, picked up my half-eaten sandwich and chips, put them in my lunch bag, and quickly returned to my vehicle. I rolled up the window, locked all the doors, and left the park swiftly. I glanced in my rearview mirror a couple of times just to make sure no one followed me. Once I could get back onto I-10 did, and then I finished my lunch. I often wondered who this guy was. My guess is that he was an undercover police officer trying to protect me from harm. He probably ran my license plate, which is how he knew I wasn't from the Panhandle area. Now, when I go on trips, I'm more careful not to visit parks where there is no one around. It's just not safe. So I was in the middle of a 5-month or so homeless stint, living out of my Civic Si with my dog, camping every night. I was in the Rockies, and had gone up a middle of nowhere fire road in a national forest, and found a fire pit site, so started to set up camp. I got the tent set up, and hear something crashing through the brush. I get my gun out cause Murica, and try desperately to get my border collie's attention, and get him back in the tent with me. I see this large gray-brown mass moving between the trees and get more desperate. He finally comes over and I hold him, freaking out because I see a smaller shape with it. But only through tiny glances in the woods. My heartbeat was racing, adrenaline pumping, I was absolutely paranoid about bears the entire time I wandered around. And then, it disappeared. To this day, I have no clue what the F it was. My family has a cabin, it's really just an old mobile home, in the middle of the woods in northern Michigan. We've had it for years and years, but only recently some unexplained odd things had happened and the police have even been out to search the place. The last time I went to the cabin was the worst experience. I went up with my friend, for context purposes we're two girls in our late 20s, and arrived at dark. We got out and unloaded but had trouble turning on the power. It has an outside electrical box, because the lock was frozen shut. We were trying to get it unstuck but kept hearing noises around the cabin. Finally, it sounded like the noises were very close to us and, as we weren't getting anywhere with the lock, we rushed inside in case it was a bear milling around. We sat inside for maybe 5 minutes before deciding to drive out to the nearest town to get a motel for the night. We would come back once it was light to get the power on. We grabbed a few things and headed back out to the car. I got in and turned the car on. But nothing happened. The car was 100% unresponsive. The doors wouldn't even lock. My car had absolutely no issues. We had just driven 3 hours to the cabin without any problems. Something had to have happened to the car in the few minutes we were inside. I told my friend we needed to get back inside. We got to the door and locked up behind us. We looked at each other, suddenly scared. Our car was totally dead. We had absolutely zero cell service and we had no power. We tried to stay calm, we made a new game plan. We were just going to rough it for the night and then, at first light, walk in the direction of civilization until we got cell signal or ran into help. Only a short time later we were sitting together in the living room quietly talking. Suddenly that was too sharp, loud, knocks on the back door of the cabin. We both absolutely froze. We sat there, horrified and shaking, just waiting for someone to push their way into the door or window. This was a mobile home so it would take very minimal effort to break in. We were met with only silence but now knew someone was outside. What did they want? It was much scarier to think they hadn't broken in. They juicy potentially sabotaged our car and were now knocking on our door to toy with us. We sat, silent and terrified. After a while we starting talking again only to have something bang on a window. Just one loud smack. I've never been so scared. We quickly realized we just had to stay alert and awake until morning. We just had to hope that whoever was outside didn't try to get in. It didn't, but pattern of the knocks on the window continued for hours. As soon as the sun was up we ventured outside. We found no tracks. This happened many years ago, so I will do my best to recall all the details. I used to live in a rented apartment with a roommate that was near some train tracks, and on top of the usual train crazies, we had a halfway house about a block down that had some real winners living there. And when I say close to the tracks, I mean they were literally in the backyard. The train lights shined in my bedroom window, and the whole place shook when a train went by. We had our share of encounters with weirdos, but nothing that really stood out as dangerous. Just weird. That was until this night. Sometime between 10 to 11 p.m., there was a knock at the door. I answered it as my roommate was already in bed. There was a squirrely-looking middle-aged dude in a hoodie with his hands in the front pouch pockets. I could tell there was something in there other than his hands but couldn't tell what. He asked me if he could have a beer, to which I declined and started to shut the door. He stuck his foot in the door and said, "Wait, never mind, I have a beer in my pocket here, I just need a place to drink it. Can I come in and drink my beer?" To which I gave him a firm no. He started acting even stranger than he was before, so I turned over my shoulder and yelled to my roommate to lock and load. Because I knew he had a shotgun in his closet. We both did, we were hunters and lived in the Midwest. My roommate, who is about 6 tall and pretty strongly built, came around the corner in nothing but his whitey tighties and sporting a shotgun. I can still see the look on that man's face. His eyes nearly bulged out of his head, and he about fell over his own feet, clawing for traction to get off our deck and disappear down the tracks. I still think about that guy from time to time and wonder what he had in his hoodie. I'm fairly certain it was some sort of weapon, but I have no idea what his intentions were once he gained access. Luckily, a dude in his underwear made him think again about trying whatever it was he had planned on. My grandfather had this second house out in Wilmington, Ohio. Super country area, especially for me since we were from Cincinnati. It had a large pond with lots of fish in it, so we would go out there to have family cookouts and to fish. Me and my brother would often go exploring in the woods as children tend to do, you know, making up adventures, using sticks as swords or guns. We had been up in this area many, many times over the years, but one particular year we went into the woods and noticed something super strange. There was this weird camp set up in the woods with all these strange symbols painted on the trees and on the table set up out there. Like real demonic looking shit. The oddest thing was that there was a school bus hoisted up in the damn trees. Like 30 feet off the ground. Set between two big ass trees. HPW they ever got a bus up there is beyond me. Anyways, there was a tent out there with the symbols painted on it, and me and my big brother played with the idea of going inside it to see what was in it, but nope the F out of there. To this day I have never seen anything like it. Grandpa ended up selling the place, so we haven't been back since. Extra stories, also in the woods was a shanty town of sorts. Like houses made of sheet metal set up right in the middle of the woods. Clothes hanging out to dry and everything. Thought that was pretty strange. And, being black, my grandfather had a secret room behind a movable wall set up in a bathroom in the house just in case the clan ever comes for me. Lol, we got a kick out of that. Live in California near the Sierra Mountain Range. My neighbor.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My neighborhood isn't small, but it's right in the heart of a pine forest. My house is on the edge of town, and there is a field across from it that takes you out into the wilderness. In this field is clusters of granite stones covered with roots of various scrubby bushes and random Douglas firs. Last night I was sitting in my home office next to my open window, which is on the second floor of my house. My computer desk is against a wall, and when you face it there is a window off to your left. Outside the window you have a good view of the field across the street. Now the night itself wasn't really all that spectacular, but there were a series of events that took place that left me feeling uneasy. The most notable thing was a lack of background sound. There were no owls, there were no crickets, and there were no frogs singing, and no wind. You could sit there and hear your heartbeat if you were quiet enough. This silence didn't really bother me that much, but it made a sharp contrast to the sound of several sticks breaking off in the distance. It sounded like it came from the field, but that in itself wasn't extraordinary. There are all sorts of animals that walk through there at night, so I looked over with a casual glance, didn't notice anything, then went back to my computer. A few moments had gone by when I noticed in my peripheral vision, a silhouette, dart quickly across the field. Again I glanced over, a little more dubious than before, but again it didn't feel like anything out of the ordinary. Maybe 20 minutes later I looked outside again and noticed a night jogger running down the street. I yawned and decided to turn in early. It was 10:30 p.m. and I needed to be up at 5 a.m. The only other thing that stands out about the night was waking up around 2 a.m. to hear the wood on my porch creaking a bit. The next morning I went about my day and at one point found out that a jogger had gone missing last night. I started to piece together the dissociated and seemingly benign events of last night and got a sickening feeling in my stomach. Some buddies and I were going on a canyoneering trip in southern Utah. Our plan was to get to the trailhead the night before our hike so we could start early for the 25-mile loop. It was about 11:30 at night when we just barely turned onto the dirt road, which was about 10 miles away. Anyways, we're driving, and on mile 2 of this dirt road, out of nowhere, this big human comes out of the bushes kinda quickly and onto the shoulder of the road. I have never been so terrified while behind the wheel. I jumped and swerved a little. I looked back in my mirrors, and it was just a scorpion hunter armed with a black light. I just need to decompress on this. Looking back, I don't believe I was necessarily in immediate danger, but I feel a lot of that had to do with being in the right company at the right time. I, 29 female, run barbells, and this past weekend we had a rodeo. Normally the rodeo scene is rowdy, but it's mostly working class folk that are unwinding. There's always a lot of beer and a lot of competition. It's normally a safe enough environment, but I've always been one to keep my guard up. As I was leaving, a guy had struck up conversation with me. Gave me the whole "I saw you riding, you did really good" routine. I thanked him. We talked for a little while, but I was neglecting the group of people that I was there with, so I told him politely that I needed to go, but maybe I'd see him again. Should have chosen my words a bit more carefully. Around 1 in the morning, I was sitting outside of my camper having a smoke and a glass of wine before going to sleep. It's not uncommon for people to still be roaming around at this time. I saw the silhouette of a man walking towards me. The same guy from earlier approaches me with 2 open beer bottles and has a seat in a chair near me. He asked if he could take me up on my offer. A bunch of things started going through my head. What offer? The, "Maybe I'll see you again?" And I'm definitely not taking an open beer from someone that appeared out of nowhere. "And how did you find my camper?" I told him that I was about to turn in and that he needed to leave. This was extremely inappropriate and invasive of my personal space. He just smiled and kept drinking from his beer bottle. "Let's have some fun," he said. "What the F? Like, what is your criminal malfunction?" That one sentence, as simple as it is, gives me goosebumps. What part about "no" and "leave" don't people understand? I told him one more time, "No," and that he needed to get away from my camper. He stood up and made more advances. I attempted to get into my camper, which is where I pack heat, but he made a move for the door. "She said no, my guy," I heard from behind me. I turned around and saw that my older and younger brother were standing there with a group of their friends. Apparently they went and closed down a strip club, which they considerately didn't invite me to. I don't know if they moved in stealth mode, or I was just paying more attention to the creep in front of me, but they really showed up at the right time. My older brother is 6'3" and has the build of a medium-sized refrigerator. My younger brother is an army veteran and stands at 6 feet. The man simply apologized and began making his way out of my space. My older brother told him not to come back. I gave them both the biggest hug. I was really lucky to have them show up when they did. I was lucky enough to have gotten the guy in a picture while I was taking a photo with a friend. We talked to the head of security about it in the morning and they said that they would deal with it. Not sure how that will be handled, but I'm glad something is being done. I know I was in theoretical danger, but that's just my thought process, because the act of danger was prevented. I know I should be more cautious sometimes, and I'm working on it. One thing is for sure though, no matter what happens with whoever, I'm not going to stop existing because of it. I had a weird encounter with Reptilian in November 1988. My ex-wife and I were near Base Lake, Indiana at night and saw some type of craft with many colored lights land nearby. We moved towards it where it was close enough to get a decent look. It was shaped like a triangle with a pointed end at the bottom. It hovered just above the ground, flashing and glowing different colors. Not long later, a door opened on the side and a ramp came out. We started to get out of there when we noticed a weird-looking thing coming down the ramp. It was shaped like a man but looked like a lizard with huge feet. It stopped moving and looked over in our direction. We got out of there. I returned to the spot 2 days later and didn't notice anything. I did experience very bad headaches and body aches for a few days though. What do you think we encountered? I decided on a whim to drive 4 hours or so to camp along the Mississippi River in Illinois for a few days to detox from a drug habit. I had decided I'd go to the area that is managed by the Army Corps of Engineers, because it's public land and free for camping. I got there, found a nice location and started a fire. Bear in mind this isn't a campground or anything, it's just a plot of public wilderness. It started raining so I set up camp, put out the fire and went to bed. I awoke to some rustling around outside my tent. I looked outside and staring at my tent was a homeless dude whose face was covered in scars, possibly some sort of skin disease. He was literally about 10 feet away from the door of my tent, and when I opened it up he was looking right at me. It was pretty scary, but he seemed like a nice dude. We started talking for a while. It had already quit raining, and he had a fire going. It was probably about 6 o'clock in the morning at the time. He kept talking about the weirdest shit. He also kept asking me for a cigarette every 5 minutes, even though I told him every time that I don't have any, and I don't smoke. He kept offering me trades, and he even offered me his elaborate hobo stove for a cigarette. He had obvious mental issues, and was likely schizophrenic. He was showing me all of his animal hides, and his bicycle was covered in snake skins. He was telling me about how he'd kill things and when he'd eat them he would gain their strength and intelligence. He was really kind of interesting actually, and I enjoyed talking to him. He was teaching me about how to kill, trap, and skin dozens of different types of animals for hours. He was teaching me all sorts of survival techniques. I was honestly learning a lot of shit from him. The conversation was getting weirder and weirder. At one point I recall him telling me about how he assaults women to gain the energy of his victims. This man rambled when he talked, his train of thought was quite sporadic, and it was kind of hard to gather exactly what he was talking about, but I'm pretty confident he wasn't only talking about raping human females, but animals as well. I was honestly getting really creeped out. I don't think he was actually going to hurt me, or assault me or anything. He was kind of a small, feeble guy. He actually seemed genuine and enlightened that he had a human to talk to. There's a good chance he hadn't actually had any human interaction for quite some time. We basically talked for most of the day. We shared some rice and beans, and he showed me basically what he does for the day. Showed me how he cooks, showed me how he boils his water, etc. Well, it was getting dark again. And I was thinking about his knives that he had shown me, and that I really didn't want to go to sleep with him around. I told him I was going to run to town to grab some cigarettes and I'd be right back. He was thrilled. So I drove the F away to some shit-ass town on the other side of the river called Clinton, Iowa. Found some casino, lost $5, and then fell asleep in a park right next to a playground. I woke up to the sound of children playing, and then I drove home. My trip was ruined. I was out with 7 friends in very rural Australia and had limited supplies after an incident back at camp. We were hiking to the nearest town by ourselves. A few hours into the hike, it started getting dark. Like pitch black dark, though the stars were extremely vibrant and beautiful. We kept following the small 4x4 trail we'd been on and came to a small clearing next to a small stream. We just sat down next to some rocks and drank a bit out of it when all of a sudden, I got this weirdly nauseating butterfly feeling, like before you go on stage in front of a crowd or something. But it didn't feel bad or malicious. I asked the others, and they had it too, and that's when we saw it. A little bit further down the stream, there were hundreds or thousands of glowing orb things all in different colors, just pulsating and glowing. It was so weird but mesmerizing, actually, and we watched them until they kind of faded. And that's when it happened, that dread feeling like so many people described. I sat paralyzed in fear, too scared to move or I'd just die or something. I looked at my friend, and her face said it all. It was completely pale and her eyes looked hollow. It was honestly manic. After that, almost in unison, we all jumped up and booked it out of there. I don't know what happened when those orb things disappeared, but it felt like the goosebumps lasted hours and I felt cold as ice. It was around 25 degrees Celsius that night. Happened to my dad 20 years ago. Now he laughs about it, but he told me it was his scariest camping experience. He was hiking in rural France with a friend and night was falling. They had stopped in a little town to shop groceries and went back in the woods to try and find a place to sleep. Mind you, they didn't have any lamp as they were young and careless, and soon they didn't see much more. The moon was bright enough for them to be aware that they were still on a forest path, but nowhere to plant a tent. Soon, they don't see anything anymore, but realize their environment has changed and they seem to be in a larger space than the path. There is grass on the ground. They assume they are in a clearing and set up tent. In the morning, they are woken up by very loud engine noises, very close to them, and they jump out of the tent, scared as shit. Turned out they slept on a roundabout in the middle of road works and the construction guys had kindly turned on the engines to warn them they should leave. I was once camping in the Santa Barbara backcountry with a couple friends, about a 10-mile hike in from the trailhead. The last morning of our trip, as we were making breakfast and packing up our campsite, we heard voices on the hillside up above our camp. At first we thought it was a couple guys coming down the trail, but their voices didn't get louder or closer, and we realized they must have been watching us and talking to each other, not realizing we could hear them. After about an hour they came down the trail, two middle-aged white men with rifles and backpacks with antlers sticking out. One was short and stocky and one tall and slender. The short one came marching off the trail toward us and said in a gruff voice, "So what kind of weed you guys smoking?" We had of course been smoking weed, but I didn't see how that was any of his business. My friend answered, "Oh, you know, just swag, but we just finished it off," at which point he proceeds to bring a pipe out of his shirt pocket and exclaimed, "Well, we'll just have to smoke mine then." The tall and slender man still had not spoken and something just felt off. He passed the pipe to my two friends first, who both took a hit, and then to me and I refused, saying that I didn't smoke. The short man then asked me to hold his backpack, which he slung off his back and basically threw at me. There were antlers sticking out the top and blood dripping out the bottom, and he asked me how much do you think that weighs? To which I responded I don't know, maybe 35 to 40 pounds? Apparently I was dead on and he explained that they had butchered the deer in the backcountry to bring back the meat, which he shoved right in his backpack. This is when they introduced themselves as Ralph and Keith, and proceeded to tell us that they had been childhood friends growing up in Santa Barbara, and used to hunt deer in the area as kids. Their whole lives they've met up for a hunting trip in the area every year. Keith, the slender quiet one, married ADA in SB County, and Ralph had moved up to the mountains outside Yosemite, married a nice fat woman who baked and walked the power lines through the mountains, inspecting for fallen tree branches and the like. They ended up being cool, if not weird, older dudes, and I kind of wish I had smoked with them, but I think I made the right decision in the moment. Once upon a time, I was walking the shores of Loch Orkey, and a nice old woman with a walking staff appeared behind me. We chatted for a good while, about how she walks these shores every day, then after wishing me safe travels, we walked in silence. After a few minutes, I turned around, and she was not to be found. The loch is said to be home to many legends. Kelpies, furries, and other such things. It was also very near the famous Battle of the Shirts. I'd been camping along these lochs for days, including Loch Ness, where I had an encounter with two suspicious elderly me, and two tornadoes. I stealth camped a bit deeper in the woods that night, but that is another story. Edit. There was not two elderly me, they were older men, though perhaps they were suspicious because they were alternate universe older me. They asked if I wanted to camp with them, and I noped out of there, though they were likely just two nice fellow hikers on the Great Glen Way. I have prior service in the military and I served in the US Army for 5 years. During those times, I never saw, heard, or experienced anything out of the ordinary or unexplained during my time in service except for one incident which I will describe. After I was honorably discharged in early 2009, I worked as a defense contractor for a small company out in Virginia. My job entailed deploying overseas for several months at a time. After being hired, I deployed to northern Afghanistan to one of the forward operating bases there. Ironically, I ran across the story on your site about the alleged haunted outpost the Marines took over in December of 2009, a few days before the incident. This was close to New Year's in December of 2009. I was in the office and monitoring message traffic when I noticed a peculiar email and attached report. One of the forward operating bases reported seeing lights near a valley adjacent to a nearby mountaintop. One of the soldiers had reported seeing a series of lights during the evening hours as the sun was setting. According to him, he thought they were possibly coalition aircraft and didn't pay too much attention to it. What caught his attention was that they were perfectly stationary and unmoving for several minutes as darkness approached. According to him, the lights had a steady clear white glow to them. Helicopters can be ruled out as the lights were near a mountain peak, and the strong wind currents as well as altitude would have made it pretty hard to keep that sort of vehicle stationary, let alone hovering safely. The terrain itself is very rugged and rough, and the weather can be especially brutal at higher altitudes during the Afghan winter. It was not an airplane either, as the soldier could not make any distinguishing characteristics or markings. After a few more minutes, according to the soldier, as the sun had finished setting, the lights dimmed a bit and could not be made out as well, so the soldier grabbed his night vision goggles to get a better look. He didn't say specifically which ones he took, but most NVG gear will pick up near infrared light or heat sources if they are strong enough. He stated that the object was glowing almost red hot through his night vision goggles, and had an elongated cigar shape to it. Size was difficult to estimate, but at least 200 feet in length. There was no more description or detail of the incident, as the report itself was Spartan and the preceding emails to it were almost poking fun at the story. I honestly thought it was a prank at first, but the report had indeed gone through all the appropriate channels and was disseminated throughout the email chain. I have heard similar incidents from other soldiers before, but this is the first time I actually came across a real report that documented this. Please feel free to email me back with any questions you might have, but this is the gist of it. Was at a campground and 8 months pregnant. Woke up at 3 a.m. having to pee and had to walk a good distance to the nearest sanitary station. Just a tank top and booty shorts because no one's gonna see me, right? Well, a group of people were just sitting in a half circle at the edge of their campsite and stared quietly at me as I shuffled by. Gave me the creeps. Got to the bathroom and while I'm peeing someone else walks in and I just got a really bad vibe. Left as quickly as possible. On my way back they were all gone, but I couldn't help feeling like I was being followed and watched the whole way back to my tent. It might seem lame to everyone else, but I was terrified of fetal abduction. Assault and kidnap were also a fear, but I was mainly scared that someone would cut my baby out of me. Didn't help that a fetal abduction occurred to another woman while I was pregnant. Went camping on a small barrier island directly off the coast of my state. We get there, offload the boat and get everything set up and out of nowhere my older brother says, "Dad, why does it look like the boat is so far away?" The anchor someone broke and left us with a chain and piece of metal with no teeth. I was around 11 or 12 and was the only one in my family who was a stronger than average swimmer because I was on swim team but. I also slightly suffer from thalassophobia, meaning I can manage to swim in the ocean just fine if the water is clear, not too deep, and I have other people with me, but none of these conditions were met. I acted on necessity, started the swim with very little thought and about halfway to the boat. I made a huge mistake and looked back towards the island and realized how far I had swam. At the very same time, something touched my foot, I think. And I did my best Michael Phelps or Jesus impression and freestyled it to the boat at super high gear. I was so freaked out by the time I got to the boat that my muscles were not cooperating at all and I had to sit down and breathe for a few minutes before I was able to complete even the smallest task. I served my Mormon mission in the state of Oklahoma. At the time I lived in a small town with a large population of Native Americans. It was the middle of winter. We'd just gotten some fresh snow. I went out to look in the shed to see if we had any ice melt and to go through some boxes that were left in there from previous missionaries. No one was outside. There were no tracks in the snow and it was extremely quiet. I heard a voice from outside the shed door calmly say hello. I said hello back and turned around. Nobody was there, the only tracks in the snow were mine. The neighbors were not outside. It was just me alone outside. Not a scary story per se, but the cemented the paranormal to me. This is a bizarre incident that happened to my family. I'm a 50-year-old man from Peru, and when I was young my family, two sisters, mother, and father, used to live in a house in a rural village, next door to my uncle. We all slept in the same room, with separate beds and we didn't have electricity. Also, there was only one door to the bedroom, and one window which we kept closed at night. So one night I woke up to the sound of my sister one, screaming. She was shouting that someone was in the room and touching her thigh. My dad got up and lit a candle, but there was no one in the room, doors and windows closed. We said she had been dreaming, so we went back to sleep. The following night the same incident again, my sister woke up screaming, saying someone was moving their hand slowly up her thigh. Dad lights the candle, but no one is there. The following night my other sister two, sleeps in her bed with sister one. Sister two wakes up screaming that someone is touching her thigh. Dad checks the room with a candle again, but nothing. This is when we all start to get a little concerned, but my parents think my sisters are just playing a very weird joke on them. The following night my mother sleeps in my sister's bed, and my sisters sleep with my dad. In the middle of the night, My mom wakes up screaming that someone is touching her thigh. Now my parents are super freaked out, but once again there was nothing in the room, all doors and windows closed. My dad asks everyone to leave the house and stay with my uncle next door, and he decides to sleep in my sister's bed in the house alone. This is where things get so strange and unexplained to me. That night we woke up to the sounds of my dad shouting for my uncle to help him. My uncle runs next door, lights a candle, and finds my dad lying on the floor, out of breath, with red marks on his chest and face. This is my dad's story of what happened. He said he was sleeping when he woke up in the night to a hand touching his thigh, but he didn't react immediately. He waited and the hand began to move higher and higher up his thigh towards his genitals. As the hand got very close, he grabbed it, and he says he grabbed onto a very hairy arm, too hairy to be human. He held onto the creature as long as he could. He said it was very large and strong, but it scratched him lightly during the struggle and he couldn't hold on. But the creature didn't run away or open a door or window, there was just silence after that. I saw the redness on my dad and believed the story entirely. I was the only one to never experience anything. After this incident, my dad and uncle stayed in the house, but the creature never came back. We all returned to sleeping in that room eventually and never had another issue. Any idea what it could have been? The area is not known for monkeys, certainly not large ones, and I don't know how a monkey could have entered the room every night and then left with no noise. But that's the most likely explanation I can think of. There was no way to enter the room except a closed door and closed locked window. Over the last 20 years or so, various people have approached me and said they've seen my doppelganger in my small town. This person seems close to my life by the locations they are at, but I've never seen them. The first time it happened, I was working in the stock room of a shop and my then partner texted and was angry. I ignored him at the top of the street of where my shop was. I hadn't left that stock room at all and he said the person was my complete double. I went to a small fun fair and bumped into a friend. I had just arrived and was walking onto the field from the car park. When they saw me, their jaw nearly dropped to the floor. They asked me how I got over here to the other side of the field so quickly. They pointed in the other direction and said they thought I was over on the other side and tried to speak to me. They said they could have sworn the other person was me as well, looked so alike. This person has been on my bus at times when I definitely wasn't there, 15 years ago or so. Has been to the shops that I go to again at times where it couldn't have possibly been me. It seems a lot of the time we are in close proximity to each other, but I've never seen them myself. Lo and behold, I walk into work this morning and a lady who also works there says she's just seen my complete doppelganger in the building that morning just before I arrived, asking about a service there. Left before I walked through the door. She couldn't get over apparently how much the person looked like me. So strange. It was the night of March 26, 2016. I was in my room in Cleveland, Ohio. There was an electrical storm outside. Out of nowhere, this intense energy permeated my room. I was standing at the time watching television, and I heard and felt this low humming sound. I was literally knocked onto my rear end. Everything in my room was alive with light and overwhelming wanting energy. Suddenly the television screen changed, and there I was on TV. Then words started forming. You are a dragon. Again, out of nowhere, like watching a movie superimposed over my own reality. I was literally shown the creation of life on our planet. A fish crawling out of the water and all the offshoots of the species, the tree of life. I have never felt such fear in my life. I can only explain this next scenario as thought transference. Words started coming into my brain like a computer being downloaded with information. They said to me, "Do not fear, little one. You are God, we live in you as you." They have revealed themselves as tall human-like beings with dark hair, with the power and knowledge of angels, but extraterrestrial. Since that day, I have been in a lucid state of awareness, being shown the secrets of the cosmos. After that, my battle for life had begun. I had lost all my hair and had scars like burns all over my body. They told me they were testing something on me they called nanomolecular technology. They are here waking us up one by one. They say that the collective event will occur on December 12, 2024, when all knowledge of the Tree of Life will be revealed. What is really crazy is that I was raised Catholic. You have no idea how difficult this has been for me. This goes against everything I was taught. I suffer silently. Who will help me? I know there is something inside of me. I feel like molten metal. I can literally see the light inside of me. I have so much information. Please help me, I am on the edge. I am willing to undergo any testing so the truth can be told. I have seen amazing things, so much more than I can state here. Please help me, so I can help others with this new paradigm. I am on the edge. Me and my girl were in my cottage house. We were preparing dinner at the grill outside. That's when I noticed something I never did. At our neighbor's wooden fence where typically stands only a small bush, there was some kind of passage. The fence was split in half and the bush that stands there normally was older and had a passage in the middle. I did not find it weird at the moment because I did not visit this country house for a few months, so I just pointed out that is interesting. My girl did not see it at first because it was dark, but then she saw the passage as well. We had a debate if it was man-made or wind possibly did the passage. I went inside to hop something and look at it from closer distance. I recognized it was probably man-made trim of the bush. Then I told that to my girl and did not pay any attention to that. The next morning when I went outside, the passage was gone and the original bush was there. After we got back to home, we decided we will draw at each one from memory and compare the pictures. They were identical. We cannot attach any pictures because we did not make any. I had one other paranormal experience there. When I was watching a TV, I saw something in the window. So I took a knife because I was scared and went to investigate. After I saw no one, I went back inside and my Yager brother was staring at me like I was doing something weird. I asked him if he saw it too. He replied no, and then I told him that I saw some lady in white dress in that window.